Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Up the Poshcast. I'm your host, Charlie. I'm joined by Dell, Lods, and Max. And this evening, we are fresh off of watching Posh's 1-1 draw with Stockport County. We'll be discussing that game in detail, plus looking forward to the Easter Monday trip to Barnsley. I'll start off with you, Max. What were your overall thoughts on this afternoon's game?
I'm actually relatively gutted that we haven't walked away with all 3 points this afternoon. And I think that's probably what a lot of Posh fans are feeling. I don't think the ref helped us, because I think there's probably 2 challenges that could have easily been red cards. And I don't think the ref had given them, which was unfortunate. However, you can't always blame the referee for decisions that didn't go our way today. You know, on another day, they probably would have done. But look, I think the performance as a whole, I'm not actually that disappointed with, considering where they are in the league and where we are in the league. I thought we gave them everything, and at the end, it was just they were more fit than we were. We looked tired at the end, and they've shot from distance and it snuck in. I thought our play, you know, all of our players played relatively well today. I don't think there was anyone that I watched and I thought, oh, you've had a really, really bad game. Apart from maybe Gustav when he came on, I'm just not overly impressed by him. And I'm sure we'll pick that up later when we talk about the strikers. But yeah, it was gutting to, it felt like a loss. I feel like a lot of times draws have felt like losses this season. We were going to hit that magic 50-point number today if we'd managed to hold on and you know, a 90th late or even a late winner like that, it always just feels like a loss and it feels grim. But I said last episode that I thought it was going to be 0-0. I thought it would be scrappy. It definitely was scrappy, and the draw was the result. I would have taken a point. In fact, probably would have bitten your hand off at a point against Stockport. But to be in control and to have those sort of moments that we probably could have scored a few more, and we could have probably killed the game off and we didn't, and then to lose it like that, it's gutting, and I'm really disappointed that we haven't walked away with all 3.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Max. I agree that overall it probably is a decent point against the side towards the top of the league. We've got to remember where we are. I know we won at Wembley last week, but we're still a very, very poor side. I thought we played quite well, but to be honest, I was quite apathetic towards the whole thing. It sort of had quite a strong pre-season vibe, I felt like, at the game. I don't think the early massive stoppage helped that. I know it was a decent atmosphere, but I don't know, I wasn't massively into it. It was annoying when Stockport scored, but that's all it was. I mean, an extra point towards survival, it wasn't bad. I thought Stockport probably deserved a point. I think a point apiece was a fair result. I think we had the better of the first half, and we had a good spell in the second half, but I think they largely controlled the second half. And yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's frustrating when you concede a decently soft goal late on in the game, but it looked like it was going to come. There was definitely another goal in the game. Everyone was saying that as it led up to the final minutes, and Stockport got it. That's football. We move on. But yeah, I don't know. I just felt a real strong apathy towards the game, as if like it sort of feels like the season post-Wembley, it's all over now.
Gotta be honest, we're all sat here. We all seem quite flat. And you know, that's what happens when you come off of the back of a superb fucking win like we did at Wembley. Obviously, I was on the pod last week, but you know, we all feel quite flat. It's probably what we've been going for all season. It was a bit of a nothing game, if I'm honest. I don't think it was particularly good, and I don't think it was particularly bad. I don't think Stockport was anything special to be in a position where they are, if I'm honest. But I'm not over disappointed with the draw, and I'm not gutted we didn't win, if that makes sense. I thought it was okay. And I think that's all we can do. It was an okay game. Just on that, just want to thank the Next Level, obviously Next Level Barbell Club, for inviting us, giving us tickets to win. And I met up with, for fuck's sake, John. don't quote me, Nigel, that's what he calls himself. For fuck's sake, John and his dad and a couple of mates, we met them up. They come into the box, hospitality in there, and hopefully they had a good time. So thanks again, Mark, from Next Level Barbell Club. But that was shame we had a better game for him, if I'm honest. But it was, it's really hard to explain what the game was like, because it really was a very flat, just game compared to obviously the highs of Wembley just literally 5 or 6 days ago.
Yeah, proper boring game, very dull. I was falling asleep towards the end, if I'm being honest with you. But I thought we defended quite well. We weren't expecting to beat Stockport, or certainly I wasn't. I predicted a loss. And I thought we matched them quite well physically. And they didn't really threat our goal too much either. I thought a draw in the end was a fair result. I know a lot of people are criticising the referee. I don't think he really had an impact on anything that happened in the game. I think this game's probably going to be remembered more for the injuries that we got in Kean Hayes and Archie Collins, both on the pitch for about 3 minutes each, which is a shame. Archie Collins seems like a pretty bad one, and his season's over. His bravery this season, I think, probably been one of his best factors. He seems to be flying into challenges, trying to defend as much as he possibly can. He takes a lot of knocks in games in general. So I'm not surprised he's finally had one that's caused him an injury. But listening to Fergie's post-match interview, it seems like it's a cut rather than a bone injury. And his words were, you can see the bone. So it explains why they wanted to put a leg brace on Archie Collins to keep his, I'm assuming, wound as stable as possible to stop it from opening further. Let's just hope it is just a cut and that he's back quite quickly, although I fear his season is probably over. And on that, I think this is such a great opportunity for Ryan de Havilland, because I think he's in his last year next season, and he had a bit of expectation that he would have kicked on by now, I think. And with Hector going and Archie being in his last year, Ryan de Havilland could really get a starting position. And he's got however many games we've got between now and the end of the season to prove that he can play at this level. I don't think we've seen it. I think he's shown glimpses that he's a player, but he's also shown glimpses that he's not quite up to the standard. I really hope that we can find a level of consistency from him between now and the end and use him in the first team next season. Because finding a midfielder to replace Kyprianou and maybe even Collins, I think, will be tougher as in the summer.
It maybe will be the case, but I don't. As I say, with the players today, we wasn't really shit, was we? It wasn't shit performances all round. It was just a very average game. I think that's the best way you can describe it. Average. If we had played like that most of the season, mate, we'd be further up the table than what we are now, because, you know, I think we're all beating ourselves up from a flat game, and it was because of, as I said, because we had the highs just a week ago. What happened there? But it wasn't that bad. It wasn't. It was just steady. It was average. The game itself was shit. But we'll move on to some individual players, and I think if we look at some of them, they did have good games. You know, we'll start at the back. Money. We won't go all the way back to Steer, but let's start off with Money. Fucking Money. Money, why? Why are you so shit, right? And, you know, some games you wander around as if you don't care, you haven't got a fucking, you know, you don't even know how to play football. And then the last two games, outstanding. Right, not necessarily outstanding, but very, very good today. Wembley, I know I didn't speak about it, but you was fucking amazing, to be fair. And it's not what we're used to seeing from you. So the frustrating thing with him is that we can see that there's something in it, but we don't see it enough. And when we're at this level, we can't just be performing to that level just in big games. It's got to be all the time. You know, your career's in front of you, and you need to get people seeing what you're all about. And then I think it's fair to say today, he also had a very solid game. One of my better players on the pitch, if I'm honest. In fact, I actually think I had him down as my man of the match. I can't actually remember, because obviously it was only about an hour ago. But I actually thought he had done very, very well today. And so we can see a player in there. So I think it's only fair I will criticise players left, right and centre. And I'd also give players credit where credit is due. And yeah, I think today is I've got to give Manny a bit of credit because two very, very good games.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dale. I mean, I think you and I have probably been, especially in recent times, the most vocal critics of Manny. And I agree, he's been very solid since coming back to the team. It makes you wonder, was that sort of time out of the team where he wasn't getting in over Hughes or Wallin? Has that sort of served as some sort of reality check to him that actually he needs to start doing the basics right if he wants to play? You know, the first half of the season, due to injuries, he was quite untouchable, it felt like, just because there were literally was nobody else, whereas when we've been given a few more options, he's dropped out, and maybe, you know, he wants to get playing again. I think he nearly had a championship move in January, and I think if he wants that same sort of situation to materialize for him in the summer or in the future at all, he needs to be playing football matches. I don't think Norwich will be back in for him in the summer unless he can put some form together between now and the end of the season. Yeah, I thought he was decent today. To be fair, I actually think the defence was decent, and I think they have been for quite a while. We look like a decently solid League One outfit now at the back. Of course, we have our games, we have our moments. You know, you look at Reading and Crawley and Cobblers, which is a bit of a stinky run for the back four. But other than that, all of them look like they sort of are more aware now. They can sense danger better. They do less stupid things. They don't get caught on the ball as much. They're willing to sort of go long and not try and play out when they need to. And yeah, it feels like we've sort of knocked a bit of game awareness into a lot of our defenders, which has been nice to see. Certainly doesn't feel like they're a liability. It's not at the point now where, like it was earlier in the season, every time, you know, a Stockport player got the ball and was looking forward, you suddenly worry that we're going to concede. I didn't have that same feeling today, and I haven't had it for a while. And so, yeah, I think credit to the defence, credit to the coaching staff, because, yeah, they're not a good defence by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not an actively terrible one anymore like they were at the start of the season.
What is encouraging to see is that Dornelli, for example, he's not been spectacular. He's starting to be more consistent, and I think that's a good starting point, you know, where he's getting more games to sort of fit in and do what he's got to do. He's been a lot better. And also, Mills, come on, let's, you know, last week, I'm going to keep coming back to Wembley because I think, yeah, it's only right. He was outstanding. Right, deservedly so, got man of the match. And then today, he's come back in again. You know, he could have let it all go to his head and like, look at me, I'm fucking made, I'm this sort of player, I'm this, I got man of the match, I scored this goal and whatever. But he was very level-headed again today, and I think he was very steady. He'd done everything he needed to do. He was calm, composed, and so I think we've got starting. I don't want to sort of give him too much credit without sort of saying, yeah, it's the best we're going to get, because I still think that we need to be moving a bit forward for next season. But it's getting more consistent and more comfortable. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Whereas before, it was like, oh, fucking hell, we can't have him playing, we can't have that player playing, we can't have this, we can't have that, because they're shit. But at the moment, the back four, I think, was solid. And let's not, you know, give Stockport, I mean, let's give them a little credit. You know, their attacking force, you know, it's pretty strong, quite big, quite dogged. And, you know, I think we held them up well. We've done very well. It was just so happens it was a long shot goal that got the equaliser. So I think we've got to give the defence credit today, because they are sort of starting to move on.
I want to talk about Ricky J. Jones, who I always struggle to give a rating to, because I think a lot of his gameplay really highlights how one-dimensional he is. We all know how fast he is. We all know how hard-working he is, how well he presses. And to be fair to Ricky, I actually think he's quite good at one-on-ones. I know a lot of people joke about how he's rubbish at finishing. I think when he's presented with these one-on-one chances, I think he probably scores more than he misses. Certainly this season, I know it's probably a weakness from him in the past. The goal he had today was great. And Fergie mentioned it. He had a lot of time to think about it. He was galloping, wasn't he? Really hard work from Malik on the edge of the box. And then it was just all Ricky from the halfway line. And I felt confident he was going to score. For every second he was running towards the goalkeeper, I just knew he was going to score. And that's... it's great to have the confidence in that player, but where his weaknesses are, and to be fair, we didn't see it today because we didn't really create a lot of chances, but the chances he does miss, I feel like are the snapshot ones that he doesn't have time to think about, the ones that come across the box that he's got to tap in. It feels like he hasn't got really that natural instinct to get the ball in the goal. And the other thing that I think really let himself down today, and Fergie's alluded to it a little bit, we had a lot of chances on the counter today and we couldn't get the final ball in. And I think there was a couple where Ricky was the one that should have played the final ball. Normally you want Ricky to be on the end of the counter-attack. But it really highlighted just how poor of a decision-making he is when it comes to passing. I know he has improved a lot with hold-up play and link-up play, but it's still nowhere near where it needs to be for this counter-attacking setup that we have. And to be honest, I've given him a 7 out of 10 just because of his work rate, his pressing and his goal. But had he not got that goal, I think he could have easily been a 5 out of 10 today. He's such a strange player to give a rating to. Every week, I feel like I'm struggling.
Yeah, I agree with you, Lods, because to what extent do you reward trying and at what point do you have to start holding people to account? And I think if we were fully holding Ricky to account today, we probably would have rated him lower. There are a couple of moments where really he should have laid people up for goals or really should have given us a massive chance and he failed to do that. And to be honest, I just think that was not just Ricky, that was just the entire front line, I think. We were just flat again up there. We had some good moments, don't get me wrong. And we were really good at getting the ball into that final third. But once we got it there, we just sort of froze a lot of the time. It was a bit mental. And another thing I'd say is I actually think one of our better players today in terms of his decision-making was Malik Mothersill. And he was pulled very early today. I think about 60 minutes he was subbed. That felt a bit odd to me. He was visibly very frustrated when he got subbed. When he turned around and saw the board, his arms were up and didn't feel like a Kean Hayes game massively. It felt like it was a game that Malik would have been really good in. I don't know why Fergie made that decision. I'm not sure I agree with Fergie making that decision, unless there's some sort of fitness issue around Malik, but I don't think that there's been anything reported. It felt like a very weird thing to do to pull him off that early. It felt like he was still having a good impact on the game and he was really conducting things for us going forward. And then, that was just the end for us, wasn't it, really? We had Ado, who was good in flashes, good at sort of getting into the right area and beating a player one-on-one. But then as soon as he got into the right area, he sort of froze. He had a tenuous penalty shout in the first half, but probably wasn't anything. And then, we just didn't create anything from the other side. I think both Poku and Ado today had the beating of their fullbacks comfortably. But when they beat that player and they got into the position to really hurt Stockport, they sort of seemed to be, I don't know whether they're playing with some sort of sympathy or something, but they seem to just not have that cutting killer edge that we need.
100% agree, you know. But I just want to sort of speak about Poku. Very frustrating today. You know, at times he had the beating of all of the players, but fuck me, how selfish has he become? Or am I missing something? He reminds me a bit of Ephraim Mason Clark last year, you know, where he was a fantastic player first half of the season, and then come second half of the season, he turned into like, I just want to do everything myself. And there's quite a few opportunities today where Pokey had the ball, and his decision-making was like, I'm going to go again. I'm going to try and get past another player. I'm going to go myself, where there's opportunities. So I'd lay it out to, at times to Malik, to Ricky, or even across to Ibi. But it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I thought that he would become very selfish today. And that's not the sort of player that he is. There's a time and a place. You know, if you've got the beat in the man, that's fine. But he's trying to do it too many times and it wasn't really coming off. I'm not going to blame him that we didn't win the game, but I think if he had used some of his noggin and played the game that he normally plays, we could have created some more clear-cut chances and potentially may have got those in. There's a couple of times there, him and Ado, where we'll talk about Gossoff in a minute. I know Max wants to speak about him, but it got into some good positions waiting for the ball, which would normally come. But the ball didn't come in. So is that Gustav's fault or is it Poco's and Odo's?
Yeah, just to like speak about Poku just very quickly, I think you're completely right, Dale, in the fact that he's become what Ephraim Mason Clark became. I think we've all got to remember now that there is no more of a guarantee that Poku is leaving this football club in the summer. He will go on a free. He's not signing a new deal, so he's going. He wants to show whatever club is coming to look at him that this is what he can do. So he wants to become that one-man band. And unfortunately, him being our best player, I don't think we have much of a choice other than to let him do this one-man band sort of thing that he wants to do. And at the end of the day, he does help with the link-up when he wants to. I thought there was points today, glimpses today, where we saw the Poku, the team player sort of Poku. But there was multiple chances, I completely agree, where they beat their fullback and he could have played the balls in. 100%. But another player who has unimpressed me today, and that is Gustav Lindgren. And I'm getting completely sick and tired of watching him play for us. I cannot remember the last time he stepped foot on a football pitch in our, you know, colours, wearing our shirt, and he impressed me. It's so poor. And I think we've got a stat in the chat that he took 3 touches today and he didn't have any against Birmingham in the league. So what does he bring off the bench? What does he bring? Why are we subbing him on if he's not taking touches, if he's not demanding the ball, if our team's not playing for his strengths? You look at Ricky. Ricky is, you know, the best case study for a player running in behind, because that's what he does. He's quick. He's mobile. He makes the right runs. The ball ends up at his feet. If he's got to demand it and he's got to play the counter-attack through, Ricky will do that to get where he wants to go. Gustav just expects the ball to land at his feet, and I'm sick of it, because that's not how you play football. It's a team game. You can't expect to have all the glory of scoring the goals and getting the football and having the shots without doing the bit leading up to that point. And the player that I am absolutely furious that we haven't been able to see is Bradley. I think it's getting ridiculous. I'm begging somebody to give me some clarity as to where Bradley is. Like, I need some clarity from someone, whether it's from Fergie, the media team, anybody. I need to know what's going on. Is he injured? Is it fitness? Have Fergie and him have a bust up? Like, what has gone on? Because he won us that game at Wrexham, really. He scored a penalty. He scored the last-minute equaliser to take us to penalties, to get us to Wembley. He was then robbed of the opportunity to play at Wembley. He wasn't there. And now he hasn't featured again on the bench today. And in games like this, where we need to bring players off the bench to make an impact, there is no player that I want more on my front line than Bradley, because he will hold the ball up. He will keep the ball in good areas. He will allow Oddo and Malik or Hayes or Ricky or whoever's playing on that wing to make runs in behind from the wing and give us a different plan. It gives us a plan B. Gustav doesn't give us anything. He took 3 touches today and he took 0 against Birmingham. So what does he bring? Why can't we put whatever's happened with Bradley? And I'm presuming it's a bust up, because I haven't heard anything about him being injured. And usually if there's an injury, Fergie's the one to tell us. So if it is a bust up, can we have some clarity on that so I can stop getting so angry that we haven't got one of the best hold up players we've got at the club at the moment and we're not bringing him on? Because if we had him today, we were undone today by a long range shot. Really, it was a great effort from long range and we were undone by it. There wasn't anything really anybody could do about it. You could say the wingers could have been out quicker to it. The fullback could have been out quicker to it. But really, it was a great goal that we conceded today. But we could waste so much more time and kill so much more of the game and have a striker that actually offers something on the pitch rather than Gustav. Because look how long it's taken Oscar Wallen to bed in. Like, look how long it's taken him. Realistically, he's been good since what? Middle of February? Start of March? It started to come alive. And he's been with us since pre-season. So we're expecting Gustav to just join the team in January, have no sort of pre-season or training with us, and then be the option over Bradley, who has done so much more for us of recent in terms of hold-up play and ability to shrug defenders off and keep defenders where they are. It's really silly. So look, all I'm asking is for some clarity on it, first of all. And second of all, I really think we should put, or if it is a bust up, which is all speculation, if it is an argument or behavioural problem, can we put that behind us for the last 3 games of the season and let the boy prove that he can play football? Because I think if you give him the option and you give him the opportunity, I don't think we're going to have to look for a striker in the summer to replace Ricky J. Jones, because I think we've got an excellent option currently just sat in the stands watching us play football.
I agree with you, Max, on what Brad brings in terms of his physique, his hold-up play. It's something that neither Ricky or Gustav can do. It's a good option to bring off on the bench, especially in a game like today. Like you say, we were 1-0 up. Ideally, we wanted to hold on to that 1-0 lead. We could have wasted a bit of time pumping it up to him and letting him hold it up and win fouls and et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, you've mentioned there about how long you think it would take Gustav to bed into the English division. And again, you're right. We have seen it. He struggled physically. He's admitted that. But we've spent £500,000 on Gustav, and Ricky's going in the summer. We have to remember that we are building for next season too. I don't think Bradley will be a lone striker next season for us. I think Gustav will be the lone striker. I think the next project for us in terms of developing strikers, getting them to score 20 goals and shipping them out for millions, our next project is Gustav. I think Brad's there as a facilitator, an extra option off the bench, which, yeah, admittedly, he isn't doing at the moment. And I don't think he's had a bust up with Fergie as such. But I know we mentioned it last week. He probably hasn't been the most professional. Fergie said that he doesn't train very well compared to some of the other players. I don't think he deserves a spot on the bench over some of the other players. I don't know if your argument is that he deserves Gustav's spot, but then if we're not playing Gustav at all, we're not going to be prepared for next season whatsoever, because we're not going to spend £500,000 on a striker and not play him. It just simply won't happen. Whether he deserves to play or not, it's simply not going to happen at Peterborough United.
Yeah, just to sort of finish up on Brad as well, sort of just to come back at what Lods was saying about whose spot I'd want him to take on the bench. Look, I think it's difficult, isn't it, to pick somebody to drop. But for me, it's got to be Chris Conn-Clarke or Gustav, because at the end of the day, albeit that we've spent lots of money on them, don't get me wrong, but Chris Conn-Clarke sits on the bench and does nothing. I can't remember the last time Dan Ferguson brought him on to come on to the pitch and play football. And I can't remember the last time he came on and did anything of great nature. Clearly, Chris Conn-Clarke, it needs time. I'm not saying that there's no player in there, but I think Bradley has come on and made more of an impact in games than both Chris Conn-Clarke and Gustav have. And I completely, I'm here and I'm listening to your point 100% on we've spent lots of money on these players and these players should have the opportunity to play. Don't get me wrong, because I completely agree. We don't spend that much money to just bin the project off. But when you're in this position, we are a little bit sort of... We haven't been in this position much of recent, where we're sort of scrapping at the bottom of the table. And although we could be safe, don't get me wrong, there's still an opportunity and a chance that we do go down. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that that's a likely circumstance, but it is still a circumstance. You've got to bring your best players. And to me, Bradley will offer more than Chris Conn-Clarke and Gustav at the moment off the bench. I also just want to say as well, very quickly, I know it sounded like I was flaming Gustav and saying how poor he is. I feel like it's a tactic problem. It's a managerial sort of problem, a coach sort of problem. We've seen how long Wallen has taken to take to the club, take to the standard of League One. It's taken him to almost March, which is a whole season nearly, really. I mean, 12 games left, he probably started to come good when we had that 9-game unbeaten run. So about 12, 13 games left. I think it's ridiculous that we think Gustav can catch up at that rate. And to give him minutes, limited, of course, but to give him minutes rather than just working on things in training that can make him a better League One striker, for me, I'd rather him have a whole pre-season, don't play for the rest of the season for the last three games, have the whole of pre-season and then come back in for the first game of the season, rather than leaving Bradley, who is going to help us win football matches. And I think everybody can see that, because he will, just with his physicality alone, will help us hold the ball up more, and will help us, because what we really want is, when we bring Ricky off, is to have our really pacey wingers running behind and cause a problem. if we're all just running in behind, like Malik has to do all the work to pick out a pass, or Poku has to do all the work to pick out a pass, or whoever's playing the 10 role has to do that. And if we play with three centre mids, it's even harder when we don't have that number nine that can drop into the 10 and to play the wingers in behind. And that is what Bradley brings. Whereas Gustav doesn't bring that at the moment. I'm not saying that he can't, but I'm saying that he hasn't, and he hasn't shown that yet. So I don't feel it's fair that we're giving Gustav a chance when he hasn't proved himself, when Bradley has proved himself, and we're not giving him that chance. So all I'm asking for is some clarity of the situation. Because if it's fitness, then then fair enough. We've got no other choice. But I just have a funny feeling it's just not fitness, and it's something more than that. And I think that's a real shame.
I see where you're coming from, Max. I mean, I guess I'll get the final word on Bradley. I think the issue with Bradley is that he's so likeable that people sort of overlook actually what he's done in a Peterborough United shirt, which is actually not a lot. He's had four league starts. He started four league games in a row, didn't score in any of them, didn't really look like scoring in any of them either, didn't create a goal, was hooked relatively early in all four. And then Ricky came on, or Malik came on, or whoever didn't start that game out of the two came on, and they changed the games in a lot of them. I think Bradley is a very decent hold-up player. I think when we were playing some quite trenches football, he was a good player to have up front because he was, you know, making the ball stick. But I don't think he's massively cultured yet. I think he's quite a rough player. And I think, listen, we need Ricky J. Jones starting games. And then Gustav is going to be the first choice striker next season because Fergie just prefers that profile of striker in this system. So I think giving him some League One minutes, because yes, he does need a pre-season, but giving him some League One minutes also isn't going to hurt. So he can at least know what the level feels like and know what place he needs to get himself to in the summer before he's ready to sort of take on next season. But yeah, I think that's it on today's game. So we'll move on to looking ahead to Monday's game at Barnsley. There are a couple of selection decisions. You know, what do we do up front is one of them, but we've just had that one. Whereas actually there's a big decision at the back because we've had two very solid defensive performances recently. You know, Birmingham and today was decent at the back, with Manny and Wallin at centre-back. Sam Hughes is available, though, on Monday. Del, do you think Sam Hughes goes straight back in on Monday, or would you reward Manny and Wallin's performances with another start together?
Okay, absolutely not does he go straight back in. And I think Fergie himself is one of these, if you play well, you keep your spot. And I don't think Wallin or Manny has done anything wrong to be dropped. So I 100% would start with them two, even though I've had my critical moments of Manny over the season and all whatever. But no, you know, and I always give credit where it's due. He has done okay the last couple of weeks, so he's got to start. The pair of them have got to start. I have no qualms with starting the back four, how it was. Don't see any reason why we can't. They deserve, they've done well in the last couple of games, as I've already alluded to. I would start with a back four. And as far as a couple of others, I ain't really too fucking sure. Obviously, we've got to change Collins by the sounds of it. It seems like it was a rugby gash rather than a snap. So, you know, it could be glued back together and a few staples in there and it could be good to go. Who knows? But, you know, De Havilland, who I'm not sure if anybody's aware, I actually don't mind. I actually quite like him as a player. He's one of these no-frills, just gets on, does what he's got to do. I would happily have him playing in midfield. I don't really know who else I would change, if I'm honest. I would like to give Brad a start without a shadow of a doubt. I know we've spoke to death about him, but at least have him in the squad because why not? So I think that's probably the only change that I would make in midfield, if I'm honest, is De Havilland for a Collins start. I just, whilst we weren't great today, we weren't shit, if that makes sense. So does anybody really deserve to be dropped? I don't think they do, if I'm honest. So I'll go the same starting 11 with the exception of Collins for De Havilland. And that's where I am. And, you know, when we go to Barnsley, historically, especially recency, what you call it, we've been quite successful there. You know, I can't actually remember the last time we lost, but that doesn't shoot in my memory. So let's, I might be for another and have a good time up. There's always a good game that goes to a Barnsley. So, yeah, stick to that 11, the Haviland in for Collins. That's where I'm going.
I would love for Sam Hughes to come back in because, let's be honest, we have played a lot better when Sam Hughes is in the starting lineup. But I am also of the opinion that we should really be focusing on next season now. I don't think Fergie will say that because I think Fergie will do the whole we're not safe until we're safe thing, which could go on for another 3 or 4 games yet. But looking at the league table, I just absolutely can't see any world where we get relegated. So I don't think we should be playing any of our lone players between now and the end of the season. And unfortunately, Sam Hughes does fit into that category unless we have plans to sign him in the summer. So that means Katongo's back. I don't think he should be playing. Obviously, Sissoko's got an injury, so he won't be fit for the squad anyway. I don't think Teo Edun should be playing again before when he comes back again. I know he's suspended. But I also think we should be making the changes now. I don't think Ricky should start. I think we should just be starting Gustav because I know we've just had a long debate about him versus Brad. We're not going to see Gustav properly until he's had a run of games starting up front. If you go back to how Ricky was when he kept coming off of the bench, he was so useless. And then I think Dara said on his pod, didn't he? He said, give him a run of 10 games where he starts up front by himself and he'll show that he's not this useless player that people make out that he is. And we did it. And unbelievably, he scored something like 6 goals in them 10 games. Gustav could well do that. I don't want to say that Gustav is a good player. I don't want to say he's a bad player because we just, quite frankly, we haven't seen enough of him. And I worry for next season. I don't know why we would carry on playing Ricky when he's already gone. We already know how much money we're going to get for him. We already know we're safe pretty much. What benefit are we getting by playing him? Let's play the players that aren't getting the minutes at the moment that need the minutes to develop into the player that we need them to develop into for us to compete next season. I would say the same about Hector and Ryan de Havilland, but obviously now Archie Collins is injured and Sissoko is injured. I think it's probably too soon to play de Havilland and O'Brien Brady in midfield together. You don't want to damage their confidence too much. But it will be nice to see O'Brien Brady back in the squad, I think. Hopefully he can get some minutes towards the end of the game. He obviously played quite well at the start of the season. He definitely played a lot better than what our expectations was of him at the beginning of the season. He's another player that's sort of at that age now where we need to make a decision. Are we sticking with him, trying to make some money from him, or do we sell him in the summer? And I think this is another opportunity for both him and de Havilland to show what they can do and whether they're going to be worth holding on to for next season or not.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Lods. I mean, I spoke earlier about how I'm feeling quite apathetic towards this season as a whole. And yeah, I think prepping for next season, getting some of the young players some minutes that are needed. You know, I think Dornelli and Mills should be playing a lot of games, although to be fair, we do have CJ next season. But I think those two are going to be great for us. Yeah, I would be prepping for next season more than anything. I think Gustav starting is not a bad idea. He doesn't deserve to start. Like, he's not played himself into the team or anything. But we need to be smart here and we need to realise that we need... I think the big issue was at the end of last season, it went down to the wire. So players that were expected to step up this season, you know, players like, for example, Malik Mothersill to an extent, players like Fernandez, none of them were playing games because we were just so competitive right till the end. But I think, we should be re-preparing for next season. And maybe that involves getting some of the players that haven't been involved, that we haven't tested yet, involved. You know, does Chris Conclark get back in? Do we give Bradley a go? Do we change formation? Do we give George Nevitt a go? You know, next season's supposed to be a big season for him. Do we get him involved in it? There are lots of selection decisions. But yeah, I do think we need to stop focusing on the here and now and give ourselves a bit of a chance in the long run.
As much as I said that Brad probably doesn't deserve a space on the bench compared to some of the other players, I probably would put him in over Katongo. We're going to have a centre-back on the bench anyway. Obviously, I've just said Sam Hughes. And then we'll have CJ that can play right-back and left-back. So I don't think Katongo will get any minutes if he makes the squad anyway. So I think you're right, Charlie. I think Brad should probably make the squad. And I do just want to mention Chris Conclarke, because it is getting, it must be really frustrating for him. Obviously, he was really unlucky at the beginning of the season with injuries, and he's not made a few of the squads recently. He's now making the squads, warming up for a long time, getting stripped down as if he's going to come on, and then having to sit back down again, which is what happened today. He was literally stood. They must have had the plan mapped out of who he was coming on for, and then he just went and sat back down again. And it must be so frustrating for him, because he is of that age again where he should be really in a Peterborough United first team, especially from non-league. We normally get him a bit younger than what he is. I think he's 23. It's really make or break for him. And we had so much expectations of him at the beginning of the season. We thought he was going to be starting pretty much every week, and he was going to be our talisman, creating everything. And we've played Malik Mothersill over him in the 10 position, which says a lot about what Fergie thinks of his ability. So I don't think I'd start him over Malik in the 10 on Monday, but he desperately needs some minutes soon. Maybe he comes on for half a game, especially with Hayes being injured. We obviously have less attacking options on the bench. It would be really nice to see Chris Conclarke play on Monday.
Just before we move on, do you know what? I actually forgot all about Donne O'Brien Brady. I do believe that is the first time I've got his name right, you know, and the fucker ain't been playing. But I actually liked him to start the season, so that's a good shout to, you know, maybe get him back on the bench ready to have a couple of appearances. But yeah, I really liked him to start the season, so he's probably going to be one that will focus a lot more so next season. So Donne O'Brien Brady.
Oh, I mean, that's just pure showboating, isn't it, Dale? You didn't have to get it right twice. You'll make this a habit. Right, anyway, we'll move on to predictions. I'll go first. I think it's going to be a good game. I think every time we've been to Barnsley, it's been a good game. We've won the last three visits there, especially last season, actually, in terms of the quality of the game of football was top-notch. It was end-to-end. We scored some great goals. Obviously, we've not got as good a team this season as we did in those years gone by, but I still think we'll be competitive. I'm going to go for a draw. I think it'll end 2-2. Nice little bit of drama. Another point that will tick us over. And then I think, listen, if we can get another point on the board, that will mean we're at 50. And I think we're home and dry at that point.
Yeah, I don't want to be too cocky or too sort of whatever, but I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. Why not? The 2-2 draw will be enough for us. But just before we go to Lodz with this thingy, I was meant to come on a pod last week, and there's a young little lad, Albie, I think your name was. If it wasn't, it was something very similar like that. And you said, can I mention you on the pod? So there you go. I'm really hoping I've got your name right. So he loves the show, even with the swearing. I don't know why, but there we go. I hope you enjoy the show, and I've tried not to swear just for you. So enjoy. So 2-2 is my prediction.
So, Dale, just to get this clear, someone's asked you for a shout-out on the pod and you don't actually know what their name is. The one thing that you wanted to do was shout them out, and you don't know who you're shouting out.
I tried my hardest to remember his name. I'm sure it was Albie. He was a young little lad. He was down the front of Wembley with his dad. His dad said they both listen to the pod. They love it, and I'm his favourite, which is obvious. But I really hope it is Albie. If it's not, message me. Tell me what your name was. It is Albie. I'm convinced it was. So there you go, young man.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Albie will be very happy with his shout-out there, Dale. You've both gone for 2-2 draws, and that was going to be my prediction. So thought it, I'll also go for 2-2. I didn't do any preparation in looking at how good Barnsley are, but I've just had a quick look at the league table, and it looks like they're not really playing for anything either, does it? They're normally there or thereabouts in the playoffs. I think they've made the playoffs the last couple of years with us, haven't they? I think they've just got a new manager as well. I think they're probably having a season similar to us, where they had high expectations, didn't quite meet them, want to compete next season. So I think a draw is probably a fair one.
I think this is one of the weird up the podcast moments where I think we all think it's going to be a 2-2 draw, because that's what I thought. And I've been, as the predictions have gone by, I've been deciding whether I want to stick or twist and go with a 3-2 win. But I think for the culture, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say a 2-2 draw. And I'm going to say it's going to be a Gustav Lindgren brace, because now I've gone and talked all this smack about him, he's going to score 2 and he's going to shush the away end that I'm stood in, and I'm going to feel like a right prat. So I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw. It's always competitive at Barnsley, and yeah, I think it'll be a good game. But yeah, I'm going to go with 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, that must be the first time we've reached full consensus on predictions on Up the Poshcast. That was interesting. I'm glad I went first and not fourth, because I would have been stuck in the Max position. Yeah, that's it for this episode. We hope that, you know, you enjoy Peterborough United 2, Barnsley 2 on Monday. And we'll be back for another episode to review that game and look forward. Thank you so much for listening. See you on the next one. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss, or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast. You know what? I do hope his name is Albie. Otherwise, he's another favourite presenter now, isn't he? Fuck's sake.